As you heard on the news, and you've probably heard by now about the case against the former head of U.S. forces in Afghanistan, rights groups are saying the light sentence a federal court gave to General David Petraeus on Thursday is indicative of the hypocrisy in the two-tier justice system that aims to aggressively punish whistleblowers. The former CIA head pleaded guilty at a federal court in Charlotte, North Carolina, for leaking highly classified information, including identities of covert officers, war strategy, intelligence capabilities, and mechanisms. He used black books with his biographer and mistress, Paula Broadwell, to do this. For the leak, which was a misdemeanor charge for violating the Espionage Act, U.S. Magistrate Judge David Kiesler sentenced Petraeus to 2 years probation and a $100,000 fine, which is essentially double what he was initially going to get. And he does not see any time in prison, but that's because of his service to the country, according to the judge. Joining us now on the line to talk about this is Marcy Wheeler. She's no stranger to WBAI. We've had her on before. She writes for a number of publications about the legal aspects of the war on terror and its effects on civil liberties. She's the Right to Know investigative journalist for Exposed Facts, and she blogs at emptywheel.net. Marcy, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Your reaction to this, you probably weren't surprised, but the contradiction that I pointed to, what are your thoughts about the Petraeus sentencing?
Well, no, I wasn't surprised. The only surprise yesterday, as you said, is the judge bumped the fine from $40,000 up to the maximum, which is $100,000. I did the math, and that's about 75% of what David Petraeus gets in a speaking fee. So it's still negligible to him. And other than that, it was mostly the theater, the defense lawyer bragging about 34 high-level people who wrote letters on Petraeus' behalf, and the judge making a big show of how serious this was, then slapping Petraeus' hand. And I think for quite some time will stand as the symbol of the two-tier system of justice, or more importantly, of what a mockery our system of secrets is, because had somebody not David Petraeus done what he did, even without it being published, and I think the claims that none of this got published are dubious at best, the person would have been charged for every single secret leak, so 8 notebooks full of secrets. The person would have been charged for lying to the FBI. The person would have been charged for obstructing an investigation. So that person would be looking at 30 years, and Petraeus obviously is not.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about the details, about the kind of information he gave out. I kind of gave an overview of him, but because, I mean, again, that's exactly what I thought. The first person I thought of was Chelsea Manning, who, you know, is seeing, you know, basically pretty much the better part of the rest of her life behind bars for calling and shining light on war crimes that were being carried out by U.S. forces, and then obviously serving the country before and during that process, but getting the book thrown at her. Whereas Petraeus, again, the judge said it was because of his service to the country, the sentence was considered lenient. One of the war designers of the war kind of walks away without really any time and no major punishment. What were some of the things that he was releasing to his lover?
Well, remember that Chelsea Manning very pointedly did not leak anything from the more classified network that she had access to. So what she leaked was secret documents at most. As compared to what Petraeus leaked, he leaked what are called code word documents. When things are really super secret and you got to make sure only a few people have access to them, you give them a special code word. So it's more than top secret. So he was leaking the very most sensitive secrets of this country. So no comparison with what Chelsea Manning leaked, far more sensitive. There were multiple covert officers' identities that were in those notebooks. So compare Petraeus to John Kiriakou, who is just finishing up his prison term and now home confinement. Both of them leaked covert officers' identities. Petraeus did more than one. Both of those names did not become public, but Kiriakou went to prison, and Petraeus, that doesn't even get mentioned. The thing that the White House, the government, hides most greedily from FOIA and from other public journalists and so on, are deliberations with the president. And that was also included in this notebook. So the nation's most sensitive secrets, and it's not just that Petraeus gave them to his mistress, but he also, for years, was keeping them. Those kinds of secrets are all supposed to be kept in a safe. And you kind of have to check in and check out when you go in. And instead, David Petraeus was keeping them in an unlocked drawer on the first floor of his house. So had China or Russia or anyone wanted to see what the CIA director was stashing in his top desk drawer, they would have found the nation's most sensitive secret.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the interesting things, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is that unlike some of these other whistleblowers that you know, John Kiriakou and others that you mentioned, trying to shed light and draw attention to government malfeasance, war crimes, etc., Petraeus was not doing that. He was doing it to essentially write his biography. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was doing it to fluff his ego.
So, I mean, how do you get away with something like that when it's like a personal aggrandizement, personal gain that he's making? I mean, did the judge consider any of that at all?
He did get what's called an enhancement for violating a position of trust. But no, I mean, the judge took the claim that none of this was made public seriously, although U.S. News, shortly after Petraeus originally signed this plea deal, looked, and there are things in Broadwell's book that are these descriptions of deliberations that she sourced to conversations with Petraeus the day he returned these notebooks. So basically, he gave her the notebooks, he went and got them back, they sat down and talked about what was in the notebooks. She wrote about it, and then she cited the conversation and not the notebook, and the government is now claiming that none of that was made public, but of course it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's how the judge gets, and to be fair, the judge was presented with a plea deal. He wouldn't have had a way to say, this is espionage, we're going to charge you with 30 counts of espionage and false statements and obstruction. His hands were tied on that front. And so it was really, it's really DOJ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I think when somebody like Petraeus leaks, if DOJ were to prosecute him, the first thing somebody like that does is starts asking for very sensitive documents, claiming he needs them to defend himself. And David Petraeus knows where all the bodies are buried. David Petraeus knows what a lot of Obama's most sensitive secrets are. And I think that's one of the things that makes him immune from prosecution. I mean, we heard about these drone strike mistakes yesterday where two hostages were killed by a U.S. drone strike. Well, David Petraeus was there when the government first tried to kill Anwar al-Awlaki in 2009, and he was there when they killed Anwar al-Awlaki in 2011,
right.
And those are very sensitive things. And
right.
Petraeus could go after that.
Right. Now, just quickly, the he's not the first former CIA director to leak information, is that correct?
No, in fact, Petraeus, who was there right before him, also exposed the sensitive identities of the SEALs who killed Osama bin Laden and was not held accountable for it, and John Deutsch, who was another CIA director. So, yeah, there's a long line of CIA directors who talk a lot about the secrets that their subordinates have to keep, and then they leak stuff.
Yeah, unbelievable, the double standard, but we appreciate, Marcy Wheeler, your work on exposed facts and at Empty Wheel, drawing attention to these contradictions. So I thank you for joining us this morning on it. And we'll direct people to emptywheel.net to your articles on this issue.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Marcy Wheel, again. She writes for a number of publications about the legal aspects of the war on terror and its effects on civil liberties. She's the Right to Know investigative journalist for Exposed Facts and blogs at emptywheel.net, which we will connect and link to our WBAI homepage at wbai.org.